Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 130. Provide for your own. A few months ago, I was reading my scriptures and I came across a verse, right? This has happened a few times in the history of the Field Log, but I come across something that really captures my imagination to the point where I want to do a Field Log either on the verse or inspired by the verse. And that's what's happening today, right? I have a verse here and we're going to get to that in just a second. A verse that, when I read it, made me feel vindicated, right? This happens sometimes, where some of the ideas of the Warrior King ethos, you know, people of various belief systems will challenge for one reason or another. An example of this is I've had conversations with some of my brothers in church, and they might say things like, why is stewardship so high up on the seven commitments, right? Why do you care so much about making money? Are you greedy? Don't you know that money's the root of all evil? And of course, if you've been listening to the Field Log for a while, you will know that that is not the case. We have a Field Log on that. It's called The Root of All Evil. Listen to that after this one, if you haven't already. But this is one of those topics. And the first thing I'm going to do is read that verse, and then we're going to read any applicable footnotes, right? Of course, this is going to be a Field Log with a number of diversions into spiritual topics, so I want to give my usual disclaimer. I'm not a priest, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a godfather, well, I am a godfather, but to one boy only, not to you. So if anything that I say doesn't seem in line with the patristic witness, or in any other way, seems contradictory to what you've learned, please ask your priest. I am not your priest. These are just my observations, hoping that they'll be useful to you. You can read more about the the disclaimer in the show notes. But we're going to go ahead and dive in here. And we are in the first letter to Timothy from St. Paul, chapter 5, verse 8. The verse goes, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. Anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. For context, the footnote doesn't address chapter 5, verse 8, but there is a footnote for verses 3 through 16, and it reads, specific advice on caring for widows. If there are no family members to do this, care belongs to the parish. A widow has God as her guardian. And then it continues to go on regarding the specific ways in which the people at Timothy's parish were meant to take care of their widows, and ways I would imagine, personally, it seems to me, that we ought to take care of our widows, right? If there is not a man to provide for a woman in the parish, it's the parish's responsibility to provide for that woman. And that's what the entire section is about. But there's an insertion there, right? There is a statement. If the verse before goes something along the lines of, and these things command that they may be blameless. Then it goes on to the verse we just read. Then it says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. And it goes on like that, right? The things that Timothy ought to do regarding the widows. But St. Paul says there, in very clear language, at least it appears to me that way, that we are called to provide for our own, and especially those who are under our care. Now, it seems to me that our own means the people in our parish, the people in our family, right? Your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, right? You don't get to just say, hey, listen, you're an adult, I'm an adult, and I don't have to take care of you. It doesn't work that way. Especially spiritual family, right? And this is very uncomfortable. It's very easy for me to say because I've never had to, I don't know, shell out 50 grand to take care of someone in my parish. The day may come. May God give us all the strength to do what we're supposed to do in that moment, right? But St. Paul lays out, I guess, two classes of people here, our own and those under our care, right? Of course, all of those under our care are our own, but not all of the people who classify as our own are under our care specifically. That's how it seems to me, at least. Why do I want to talk about this? I think it's obvious. I think it's very obvious. This is stewardship, right? And I'm actually going to go ahead and take the time here to pull up the seven commitments one more time and read commitment number two, which is stewardship. Now, before I read this, I want to swear to you that I did not write this commitment with the specific verse in mind. I had not read 1 Timothy 5:8 in many, many years, and if I had, I didn't remember it at all. But listen to the language, listen to the overlap. My second commitment is to providing for those under my care. For those under my care, my wife and my children, my family, my brothers, my church, and my community. I will practice good stewardship and build wealth to the best of my ability, never being attached to it. And then, of course, as usual, I understand that the Lord may take it away from me at any point for my salvation. If necessary, I will choose my first commitment over my second. Right? And this is the usual language. If you've read the seven commitments before, if you should have at this point, you will know this language. But that's the idea. That's what the second commitment is all about. This is why I constantly tell men to get over or conquer their fear of building wealth. Do it in a way where it's not going to have as much of a hold on you, or any hold on you, of course, right? Minimalism isn't about not owning things. It's about not letting things own you. That's the idea here. And I give this example all the time. For me, I drive a car that's worth $10,000, right? I live in a 650 square foot apartment. I still wear shirts that I bought in college, right? I was wearing a shirt the other day to church. It's a nice shirt. I like it. I probably spent 30 bucks on it. And I bought it when I was 21. I'm 29. I'm turning 30 this year, right? Glory to God that I made it this far. Hopefully many more years. But I'm turning 30. I've had that shirt for almost 10 years. That shirt is almost older, or it's a few years younger than my future brother-in-law. He's 13. That's the way we can do this. But there isn't just a way for you to say, oh, I don't want to make money because it's dangerous, or I don't need that much. I had this conversation with some of my brothers from my parish last Saturday. I said, listen, like, you know, man's a man. You can never make too much money. You can have too much money, but you can't make too much money because you can just give it away. If there is time in your day, if there's time in your week where you're doing completely mindless things, watching Netflix, playing video games, just fooling around, right? Why not use that time to advance in your stewardship? Make more. And I assure you, once you make a little more, you will think of ways, first of all, that those under your care could use that. Be like, okay, I'm making another $50,000 a year now. I've been ignoring the reality that my wife needs a new car. The car she's driving is really old. It's not safe. It could break down. I'm going to go ahead and buy her, you know, new to her, right? Always get your cars at least 1 year old, because the vast majority of the value drop happens in that first year. And then, of course, it goes on for another few years. So if you want to be even more economical, you can get a car that's 2 to 5 years old. But the point is, you're going to think of a couple of things. Or, hey, you know what? My son needs new shoes. Or, I don't know, our house needs updated such and such. And of course, you want to be honest with yourself and say, do we really need this? Don't just throw around the word need. But you're going to think of a number of things. And then once that's happened, you can start taking the rest of that money and invest it in the S&P 500. And you can let that build up to a couple of million dollars. And then you'll be financially independent, no matter what happens to you. If you get injured and you can't work, if God forbid something dies to you and the life insurance doesn't cover it, of course, if you have a family, quick side note, not that this is financial advice, but in my opinion, you absolutely have to have life insurance. The very first thing I'm doing after I get back from my honeymoon is updating. I'm getting life insurance. And if anything happens to me, I'll pay $60 to $100 a month. I don't care. If anything happens to me, my wife needs to be taken care of. If you don't do that, if you don't provide for those under your care with things like this, life insurance and whatever, you're worse. Worse than an unbeliever. You think that you're pursuing virtue as a Christian. If you're not taking care of those under your care, you are worse than an unbeliever. Of course, I'm speaking to myself here too. But once you've done all of those things, okay, start giving the money away. Give it to your parish, right? You think that your parish can't do something with that money? Give it to the diocese. Give it to a charity. Give it to a family member of yours who's struggling right now. Give him a little bit of money so that he can pay off his bills. Whatever it is, you're never going to have too much. Well, you can have too much. What did I say? You can have too much, but you can't make too much. You'll never make too much. But this is something that we have to accept. And of course, if you're listening to this, if you're on field log number 130, by the way, congratulations, of course. But if you're on field log 130, you've made it this far and you've listened to all the other ones before this, you're not just stumbling in, which if you are, is of course, okay, welcome. But if you're not, I'm going to assume that you're already well convinced of this. But the reason I want to make the field log is, one, if I end up having this conversation again with people, which I'm sure I will, I'm going to tell them, hey, if you have 20 minutes or 10 minutes, if you listen on double speed, I've already recorded an argument for this. I'll send it to them. But also to make you rest assured in the fact that this is a very biblical way to live, right? And we've talked about all of this. We have a field log on stewardship, right? I have a whole field log series on each of the seven commitments. We have a field log on stewardship. We have one on money as a tool. We have one on the root of all evil. We've talked about this many, many, many times. But it bears repeating that as a man, your first commitment, as a man living the working life at least, your first commitment is to God and your second commitment is to the people that he told you to take care of and your environment. But all the various things that you do in your stewardship facilities, you need to do them well. There's no harm in making more and just saving more and putting it away, becoming financially independent. And guess what? I'm guessing most of you listening to this, if not all of you, are doing something for money every day that you would rather not do. It's no secret that I'm not a huge fan of technology, right? Maybe there could be a world in which I didn't have to do that, which of course, the thing that I do for work right now, the thing that I do to make a living, I do it with effort, right? I put myself into it. Everything you do, you need to do well. You want to be a good business owner or a good employee or whatever. You got to do it right. Don't just show up and collect a paycheck, right? Put yourself into it, put your heart into it. But maybe in a few years, in a few decades, maybe, who knows, you can free yourself up to do the thing that you're really passionate about. I would love to do this full time. I would love to be able to do philosophy and poetry full time. Because I think that that's what I excel at. But right now, that's not a possibility. So I do what I have to. But guess what? If I were hypothetically making $10 million a year, I'd do that for 2 years, put most of that away, and then never have to worry about that again and do the thing that I think is important. And the same is true for you. Right? And I don't mean to be ranting about stewardship one more time, but like I said, it bears repeating. But this is the idea today, right? If anyone does not provide for his own, he has denied the faith, right? The faith is more than just confessing with your lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It goes beyond that. The faith, the Orthodox Christian faith, is about uniting yourself to Christ. What does Christ do? I mean, he does many things, but one of the biggest things is shepherd us. We are all under his care, every single human being. He reaches out to every single human being. He invites into communion with him. We emulate that. Well, maybe not every single human being. Maybe we don't have the skills for that. That's okay. I know I don't. But some subset, as men listening to this, as men committed to this life, there's some subset of people, maybe they're not alive yet, maybe they're not in your life yet, but there's some group of people in the present or the future or both, who depend on you. Provide for them. Suffer more so that they suffer less. Be more disciplined so that they can be safe. That's your job. I was having this conversation with my fiance the other day in the car. We were talking about what is your goal, right? Just the question of what is your goal. And I told her, you know, talking about her and then we're talking about me. I told her that I love doing this. I love philosophy. I genuinely get giddy and, dare I say, quote-unquote passionate. I hate that phrase, I really do, but I do get excited when I talk about this stuff, when I get the opportunity to discuss these things. I just got a text from one of my guys having a problem with a particular girl he wants my advice on. I'm very humbled, I'm very honored. I will gladly get on the phone with him and talk for a few hours. But no matter how much I enjoy this, my first calling, the thing that I will be first and foremost always, is a man. I have responsibilities. You have responsibilities. You have to take your responsibilities seriously. God has given them to you for a reason, and if you deny them, you are worse than the unbeliever. So now that we've discussed that, I want to say sufficiently, at least for today, for the time being, are there any action steps here today? Well, of course, there's the obvious one. If there's any widows in your parish that need help, you want to encourage everyone there to contribute, and you yourself contribute. If your parish needs something, you want to contribute to that. It doesn't just have to be a widow, but it can be anybody. It can be a person, it can be the building itself. Right, in my parish right now, our building is in need of repairs. I just so happen to be the treasurer at my parish. So I presented the idea to the council of doing an initiative for the building, right? It's Great Lent right now. It's the Great Fast. And I said, why don't we marry the fast, which is a time of greater prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, to a almsgiving drive, right, where we encourage our parishioners to give $10,000 to cover all of our building expenses. So far, it's going well. Glory to God. But these are the things that we want to do, right? Look around you. At all times, right? Especially today, especially this week, but at all times, look around you and ask yourself, does somebody whom I am responsible for, need help? Is there anyone? Is it financial help? Is it prayers? Is it advice? Is it food? Is it clothes? In what way can I help? Right? Of course, we want to balance this always with, you know, there are people who are the most important, who are primarily under your care, right? Like your immediate family, your wife, your kids, then your parents, your siblings, and then extended family, your parish, those kinds of things. So you have to balance it. You can't just say, hey, this person in my parish needs 100 grand. I have 100 grand in savings. I'm going to give you all of it. You have to still be viable. You can't help people if you're broke and destitute. But do that. Look around, right? Do that today, do it this week, do it always. Become generous. Not only is generosity something that the Lord calls us to do, calls us to have, calls us to be, but it's a good quality people will appreciate. Of course, we don't want to make any decisions based on what it is people want and don't want, but it's generally a good indicator of what we ought to be doing. It's a heuristic, if you will. The Lord says, when you see someone hungry, feed him. When you see someone naked, clothe him. When you see someone on the street, let him into your house. Right? That's a very high calling. I don't know if I've ever done that before. Seen a beggar and be like, hey, come sleep at my house. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I have the strength for it. Which, of course, comes to show that, as usual, this field log is for me first and foremost. I'm the one who needs to hear this most. Just hoping that it'll be useful to you also. This is what we're called to do. Because when we feed any of these, we're feeding him, he says in the scriptures. When we clothe any of these, we're clothing him. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. See the image of God in everyone around you, especially the people under your care, especially your own, those of your household. No matter what, you have to help them. That is your calling in life as a man, but I want to make that explicit, that you don't exist but to serve the people God has put in your care. That is your primary thing. You build wealth, you build wisdom, you build strength to protect, provide. And then when there's time left over, you get to do little, you know, side projects like this. You get to have a little fun. but the seven commitments are in a particular order for a reason. So that's the topic for today, for this week. That's the theme of this week, if you will, is providing for your own, is being the man you're supposed to be, to take care of people that God has put in your care. You have to think about that today, this week. Whatever you're doing right now, right? You're doing your morning sketching or journaling, you're sunbathing right now, maybe the weather is nice out, getting ready for your cold shower. Put that on pause for a second. Pull out your notes app, pull out your whiteboard, your blackboard, right? Whatever colored board you have. Carve out some time today, you know, after dinner, before dinner, on the way to the gym, whatever. Think about one person who needs help right now. Is there a widow, maybe even, you know, that'd be perfect, but is there anybody who needs help who you can think of? Help that person in whatever way you can, whatever way doesn't ruin you completely financially, right? Give a little more than you're comfortable with. That's what we're called to do. Give just a little extra. Whatever we're comfortable with, give a little more than that. Push ourselves constantly to give more. I have a friend who has a beautiful way of looking at this. He's the CEO of a startup, pretty big startup, actually. And he told me the way he deals with his personal finances is he doesn't ask himself, how much can I keep? Right? He always asks himself, how much can I give away? Right? Not thinking about it in the minimum he should be tithing, but the maximum that he can do and still, you know, be viable. Very selfless way. Right? I respect him to no end for that. So think about that today. Do what you need to do there. Make sure that every breath you take, every action, you're always moving towards a way to provide for your own. That's it for this week's Field Log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for Field Log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the Marcian.cx project. So check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.